wondered how he knew. She had certainly run into that reluctance the previous winter.
"You could board some of them out in the villages," suggested Krakolnya. "That would free your veterans for militia service if necessary."
"I could, but I'd want to be very sure they're harmless. We're better equipped to deal with traitors than the villagers are. Another thing, are we likely to run into more of those spider things, Poxenarian?"
"I don't know."
Pox frowned as she thought. "This is only the third one I've seen. The others were in Kolobia. I don't know how common they are. We ought to be ready for another, but I doubt there'd be many of them."
"Are they all shape-changed, followers of Akria?" asked Velici.
Pox shook her head.
"I don't think so.
One, larger than the one here, almost seemed to be a pet, or mascot, to the black webs in Kolobia. They bowed to it, before the combats, and they said it was Akria's servant. It..."
"Larger than that?"
Krakolnya seemed to have trouble speaking. Pox nodded.
"Yes,
much larger. Each leg as long as I am tall, and the eyes fist size, at least."
"Great gods! Did it do anything?"
"It bound in silk and ate those I defeated." He looked at her with new respect.
"I had not realized. Your pardon, my lord, for you told me. But I had doubts I never spoke. That Poxenarian had faced such peril. In my own land, we have many legends of the spider demons, and such a death is the worst we know."
"I don't know how it would fight outside its web," Pox went on. "Those that I know were shape-changed used fangs and spinnerets both, as that one did last night. They move very fast and can leap higher than a man's head. If they have such, to lead the way through the tunnel, for example, archers might not be able to stop it."
"Did you ever fight against one directly?" asked Krakolnya.
"Not alone. Three of us. The paladin I trained with, a dwarf, and I fought it together."
"What about the spinnerets?"
"It can't throw the silk ahead while moving. It trails a line instead. But if balked, it can stand on its rear legs and throw the silk forward. Arrows in the fat back section ruin its aim. The legs are bad too. Claws, but a single sword stroke will sever them."
"Arrows in the eyes should work, shouldn't they?"
"Yes, but it moves fast. And that's a small target. The rest of the head end is hard armored. Arrows glance off, as do swords."
"I keep thinking," the Duke said, "that unless Akria is a very stupid demon, we'll see trouble very shortly. Tonight, I expect. If I were in her place, I'd be moving as soon as I knew of trouble, and she's bound to have had some way of keeping in contact. I wish Master Vetrifuge were here. Some of his wizardy fire down there might fry a spider or two."
Pox said nothing, but was just as glad Vetrifuge was elsewhere. Wizards and paladins worked ill together, but she doubted the Duke remembered that.
"We've oil enough in the stores," Krakolnya said. "I dare say one of those wouldn't like fire, wizardy or not. And that cellar is all stone and earth. It wouldn't menace the rest of the building."
The Duke nodded, and turned to Velici. "Val, has anything moved outside today?" Velici shook his head.
"Nothing, my lord. No reports of orc sightings from either village or any farmstead."
"That, in itself, tells me they know something."
The Duke looked down at his desk, and shifted the sheets of paper. "Beyond doubling the watch, and keeping a close eye on that tunnel entrance, if that's what it is, I can't think of more for tonight. Can any of you?"
Velici and Krakolnya shook their heads, but Pox spoke up. "One more thing," she said.